Radio Prague News.
The High State Prosecutor Ivo Istvan has confirmed that no charges have been pressed so far following an extensive police operation Tuesday. The Czechs have come first in Euro 2016 qualifying in their group after defeating the Netherlands. And traffic in the region of Karlovy Vary has been hampered by the first snow of the season. Former Interior Minister Ivan Langer has been released by police after questioning and an investigation reportedly linked to the sale of a solar power plant, Czech TV reported. In an extensive operation on Tuesday, police conducted a search of Mr. Langer's home in Olomouc and also detained a close associate of his, Ivan Kiseli. In addition, the police's internal affairs squad questioned the deputy head of the anti-corruption police and the director of the criminal police in connection with the case. The investigation relates to the sale of the Ševěkín solar plant in South Bohemia, a transaction in which Mr. Langer's law firm was reportedly involved. On Wednesday, Olomouc's High State Prosecutor Ivo Istvan confirmed no charges have so far been pressed against any of those who were detained. Finance Minister Andrej Babiš has again clashed with his predecessor in the post, Miroslav Kalousek, the deputy head of Topo 9. Most recently, the two politicians clashed in a recent TV debate program. On Wednesday, the politicians traded barbs during the regular session of the lower house, with Mr. Babiš claiming his predecessor had in the past been investigated for giving the green light to online gambling in the Czech Republic. Mr. Kalousek denied ever having been the subject of a criminal investigation over online gambling and challenged the finance minister to a 10 million crown bet. He couldn't prove it. Mr. Babiš, who accepted, told Czech Radio he considered the money won. The region of Zlín reviewed more than 130 claims of damages in connection with restrictive safety measures taken by firefighters, the military and police pyrotechnicians at a now defunct munitions site in Vrbětice last year. The region is asking that roughly 1.15 million crowns be paid by the Interior Ministry to 38 claimants. Damages pertain largely to losses suffered by local businesses as the result of intervention by security personnel in stabilizing the site. Roughly a year ago, two storage buildings at the munitions site in Vrbětice were destroyed by a massive explosion which scattered additional material, rendering the entire site unstable and highly dangerous for months. Two employees died in the initial blast. Turning to sport, the Czech Republic have come first in their qualifying group for football's Euro 2016 championship. This after a 3-2 win over the Netherlands in Amsterdam on Tuesday night. The visitors went 2 up in the first 31 minutes due to goals from Pavel Kaderabek and Josef Šural before Holland's Robin van Persie scored an own goal. He and Klaas-Jan Huntelaar later found the net for the hosts. However, the Czechs managed to hold on. That was their second win over the Netherlands in the successful qualification campaign, and the Dutch will not be going to the championship next year in France. And finally, traffic in the region of Karlovy Vary was strongly affected on Wednesday by the first snowfall of the season. Roads saw some 5 centimeters of fresh snow in areas including parts of the R6 throughway. Firefighters were called out to clear fallen trees or branches in places. Traffic slowed and transport trucks, including vehicles still on summer tires, had to take extra caution. By law, the latest date for transferring to winter tires is November the 1st. I'm Jan Wellinger. You'll find more news at radio.cz.
You are listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, with me, Daniela Lazarová. Coming up in today's program, the Ombudswoman slams conditions in a Czech detention center for migrants, and the swelling population of wild boar is causing serious problems in the Czech Republic. Later on, an Italian entrepreneur starts a business selling Italian cheese in Prague. All that coming up, so do please stay with us. Czech Ombudswoman Anna Šabatová has severely criticised conditions in the country's asylum facility for refugees in Bělá Jezová, north of Prague. After paying a visit to the facility on Tuesday, she said children there have worse living conditions than inmates in Czech prisons and called on the Interior Minister to address the problem without delay. Ruth Franková has the details.
According to the ombudswoman, the living and hygiene conditions in the centre are so bad that they violate the Convention on Fundamental Human Rights and Freedoms, as well as the Convention on the Rights of the Child. She said that while such conditions were understandable in refugee camps for thousands of people, they were unacceptable in a refugee facility in the centre of Europe. On a previous visit to the detention centre, Mrs. Shabatova and her colleagues pointed out that it was not suitable for families with children at all. After her last visit to the detention centre on Tuesday, she put together 14 points summarising the most serious shortcomings the inspection uncovered. This is what she said during a press conference on Tuesday.
The children are traumatised by seeing their parents being transported to the facility in handcuffs and by being kept behind a 4-metre-high fence with barbed wire, which they regard as a prison. They lack warm clothes and shoes. They're also frightened by the presence of policemen and security guards inside the facility, even during meals. What we also see as unacceptable is the evening counting of inmates, which involves waking the children up if they have already gone to sleep.
The ombudswoman's criticism was not limited to children only. She also pointed out that the facility did not meet basic hygiene standards and that there were not enough translators to help the people, for instance, during a visit to the doctor.
I think that the biggest trauma, despite the unsuitable living conditions, is that the people don't know why they're in the centre, how long they will be staying there, and where they stand legally. They have no one to discuss the matter with. The legal help they're offered is inadequate, although some time ago there was none at all, and we have had some signals that the detention centre is not very forthcoming in this respect.
Meanwhile, the head of the Refugee Facilities Administration, Miloslav Koudelný, has dismissed the criticism, arguing that the ombudswoman based her rebukes solely on the statements of the detained foreigners. In an interview for Czech radio, he also said many of the problems were caused by the centre being overcrowded at the time of the inspections.
Mrs. Shabatova certainly knows that we accepted most of the recommendations he sent us in mid-February. We accepted many of them, for instance, to enlarge the playground or to create a children's corner in the center. However, the facility suddenly filled up, and we didn't have time or space to implement the measures. Currently, there are around 300 foreigners, and the situation has stabilized, and we are now ready to implement them.
Miloslav Koudelný, head of Refugee Facilities Administration, ending that report by Ruth Frankova. Moving on now, plans are afoot for a mass cull of the Czech Republic's wild boar population. Mild winters are causing the animals to breed all year round, sparking a rise in numbers and a related increase in damage to agricultural land and incidents of boars wandering onto roads. Ian Willoughby reports.
The Czech Ministry of Agriculture is preparing legislation allowing for the hunting of wild boar of all ages and genders throughout the year, rather than from the start of August to the end of December, as at present. The reason for the move is that the country's wild boar population has swelled due to the mild winters of recent years. They have led the animals to breed all through the year, not just from November to January. František Marianek, from the Regional Agricultural Chamber in the Ostrava region, North Moravia, recalls a time when there were far fewer of the beasts.
In my youth, if a wild boar appeared, it was a big deal, something unique, but now meeting them is common. In fact, just 2 weeks ago I was driving to Brno and near Vyškov, 4 or 5 of them appeared on the road.
This has become an increasingly common occurrence. There was a 4-car collision on the country's main motorway, the D1, last month, after a group of 4 boars wandered into the middle of it, giving new meaning to the term roadhog. It's also been reported that wild boars cause around 3 billion crowns in damage to crops in the Czech Republic every year. František Marianek, who is a court expert in the agricultural field, says accurately assessing the cost is extremely difficult, if not impossible. However, he's all too familiar with the damage the animals cause.
They eat corn and potatoes in fields. They also damage crops when they are hunting mice and looking for food. Wild boars aren't just a problem for hunters, but also for farmers and forestry workers. All of them need to play a role in reducing their numbers. Hunters can't do it all on their own. The farmers and forestry workers also need to take action.
Though he regards the growing boar population as problematic, Mr. Marianek is not in favour of the proposal to allow hunters to shoot them all year round, regardless of age or gender.
Listen, young boars should be liquidated first and foremost. That means liquidating piglets and one-year-olds, at most two-year-olds. But if we want to maintain a population, we need to keep a balance of males and females of similar ages.
The future of the Czech boar population should be clearer soon. The Ministry of Agriculture bill allowing for a cull is due to be discussed by the Cabinet before the end of the year.
Ian Willoughby with that report. A reminder that you're with Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, where it's now time for our main feature. Italy is famous for its family-run businesses making top-quality products. But in recent years, the economy has been contracting and many young Italians have moved abroad to seek jobs and new opportunities. In this week's Marketplace, we look at one Italian couple who have moved to Prague with the idea of creating their own one-stop site for producing and selling mozzarella and other specialties from their homeland. Chris Johnston with this edition of Marketplace.
Marco Damelli Melodia and his partner Tiziana are part of a new Italian exodus, and the couple chose the Czech capital Prague for the launch of a new business combining traditional Italian know-how with a lower-cost Czech market. Around 8 months ago, and after a year's preparations, they started their business producing and selling mozzarella at a site in the not-so-fashionable Prague suburb of Nuslej, a kilometre or two from the city centre. You walk through the doors into a small restaurant, with the walls filled with olive oil, wine, pasta and preserved vegetables from the couple's home region of Puglia in southern Italy. All the produce is from small family businesses. And from a large window in the restaurant and from the street, you can see the workers making mozzarella and other cheeses 5 or 6 times a week. Marco says that starting such a business in Italy would have been unthinkable. First of all, of course, is the novelty of such a business in Prague. But there's also the fundamental fact that start-up costs are a lot lower in the Czech Republic than in Italy. The mozzarella business, Mozzarella Art, was funded from their own money from selling an Italian betting business and that of an Italian partner already living in Prague for 10 years, who helped to smooth the launch for the couple, who admit that their Czech is still undeveloped and shaky. Banging the table, Marco is dismissive of the attitude taken by banks.
If I'm present at the bank with a good business plan, with good idea, and I tell, please, give me also 20,000 euro, they smile. They don't help the startup, they don't help. They help only the sure investment, 100% big company that have come back the money.
Marco and Tiziana have followed a circuitous route to Prague, although they already knew the city after winning a master's grant to study there in 2008. Marco later worked as an assistant to an Italian Member of Parliament and also at the Italian Consulate in London. What they are bringing to Prague is a taste of traditional Italian know-how. Making mozzarella from cow's milk is still practiced by many families for their own needs, though the small businesses that do this commercially are under pressure from big producers who, Marco says, cut costs by adulterating the milk with cheaper additives. But not having a mozzarella background of his own, Marco has also had to employ two experienced Italians for the Prague production. And that has been a major cost.
This kind of work, they in Italy keep like 2,500 euro by month. And that is the level of salary that they want. And it's very heavy. It's not easy because we need of something that produce mozzarella, another that help the producer, another for the seller, another for milk, another for the delivery. It's complex machine. But we stay on the good level from when we start. That is no problem. Maybe we don't make great money for the start, but we cover everything, and that is good satisfaction, because when in the first year you can cover everything, it's a good thing.
Marco says that there's no way of cutting out such expertise, which might add up to around 25 years in cheesemaking, which might have started with the family as a child. Knowing what you can do with a batch of milk is an art, he says.
Milk is something of life. You know, change day by day. One day is one thing, tomorrow is another thing. Today is basic, tomorrow is acid. Today the cow are stressed, they produce fat milk. Tomorrow the cow are relaxing and produce liquid milk. Okay, milk is something of different day by day. And the good worker is the worker that read the milk, speak with the milk, and tell me, okay, I know today which kind of work I must do.
Daily cheese production has risen from around 3 to 5 kilos at the start to around 10 to 20 kilos now. The cheese is made 5 or 6 days a week, so deliveries are always fresh. Marco reckons that around 60% of the production is sold out of the restaurant and shop, and 40% to hotels and other businesses that now are ringing in their orders. Some of the top Prague hotels are now taking Marco's cheese. There are around 20 to 25 different varieties. And he's more than happy with his Nusslei location, which in one way had the advantage of sparking a lot of interest from passing Czechs.
We are lucky because we have a tram, you know, the tram stop, and the people ask what they do, and they come. That is my first marketing. I know that the area is not the best. I know this. My idea is open something for the citizen. And maybe this area is good because it's not so far from the center, it's not so far from Prague 10, Prague 2, that the people live, more or less. And the people come from every part of Prague and ask me, Marco, when you open in Prague 6? When you open in Prague 7?
And Marco does indeed have his expansion plans for the future, though there is some concerns that the higher purchasing of Prague and the willingness of Czechs there to try out foreign food might not be reciprocated quite so much in regional towns and cities.
Dream is free. And if I think of one of my dreams, is open one chain of this, maybe also in franchising, maybe, I don't know, but a chain more of like this, you know, but the shop with fresh thing and the people can be taste a real kind of mozzarella, that is my dream, you know. I think in franchising I prefer because I think that the first rule of the business is the business must be followed by the owner. Only the owner give the magic touch for good business. I know that in Czech Republic there are the idea of the business followed by manager, but the manager is not the owner. You know, I'm Italian. I come from a family business. For us, it's normal. It's impossible to give the key of business of another person.
So clear evidence there that the traditional Italian business model is being transferred to the more hospitable Czech environment for startups without losing some of its basic traits.
That edition of Marketplace by Chris Johnson, and it's brought us to the end of today's programme from Prague. You'll find us online at radio.cz. Should you like to contact us, then please write to english@radio.cz. We'll be glad to hear from you. This is Daniela Zerová saying thanks for joining us today and goodbye.